This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Welcome, boys and girls, dogs, cats, ferrets, goats, geese, peacocks. What else is down there at Virginia Bell Farm that I'm forgetting at the moment? Anyway, that'll do it for now. My apologies to snakes and other animals that I'm not that particularly caring for. An interesting program today, one hopefully that will provide a little education and a little spirit to those who need it. We'll be talking about Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA and the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, the Nelson County SPCA, with some friends in the studio today. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support, encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures on your doorstep at area state and national parks this summer. The staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies, maps, guides, and even suggestions for excursions. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen and on West Broad Street and the Chesterfield Town Center in Richmond. All right. Let me fire up the mixer, my favorite piece of equipment at WNRN, introduce our guests. Betty Graham. Betty, how are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Rick.
Let's try that again. There you go.
I'm just fine. Thank you, Rick.
It is so much better when I actually turn it on. Betty Graham. Betty, what's your official title?
Well, I kind of have two titles. I'm president of the Humane Society SPCA of County, and I'm the vice director of our no-kill facility, Almost Home Pet Adoption Center.
Found in Nelson County, at 29 and Stagebridge Road?
Yes, which is also Route 624.
As you're heading south from Charlottesville, Albemarle, it's a couple miles before you get to that Lovingston center of town with the Food Lion.
It's actually about 3 miles north of Lovingston.
So if you're coming, maybe you're listening on our Lynchburg 89.9, then drive up north, and as soon as you go past the Food Lion at Lovingston, start looking on your right. And we have McKenna Yarborough. McKenna is the Associate Director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. Sean, let's get those just a little closer so I don't have to have the volume cranked all the way up. Ladies, tune down your personal auras and allow the microphone to be nice and close.
Huh?
That's right. It's going to be right in your face. All right, write down the phone number because you're going to want to call, ask some questions, and make some comments because you are either a pet owner or you're not, and you should be. So 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Betty Graham from the Nelson County SPCA, the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, which is where my dog Lazarus came from. Lazarus, if you're listening, please know we're talking about you. And McKenna Yarborough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, where she's the associate director. Ladies, let's just jump right into things. Both shelters are either definitely identified or are making every effort to be no-kill shelters, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
And, McKenna, let's start with you. How do you do that? I mean, because it seems to me that whatever your goal is to, all right, let's back up a minute. Define a no-kill shelter. I mean, it seems pretty simple. No-kill shelter, you don't kill any dogs or cats. But I think that there's another step or two to it, correct?
There is. I mean, the basic industry standard for a no-kill shelter is that we place all adoptable, treatable pets with the community. We do not euthanize healthy treatables, and in some cases, untreatables, and that we only euthanize those animals that pose a health risk to the public, whether that be for behavior reasons or for health reasons. And if they're suffering, obviously, we're going to do the right thing by the animal. So for medical reasons, we euthanize those extreme cases. So that's our definition of no-kill. Now, there are some no-kill organizations that do not euthanize whatsoever. So I'm sure Betty has a very similar definition as we do.
That's right. We actually haven't had to euthanize anything except a couple of severe cases of parvo that didn't respond to treatment, and the vets recommended euthanizing, and also in a couple of cases of cats that were severely ill and the veterinarians said with much. But other than that, we've been fortunate that we haven't had to euthanize any of the animals.
So this effort is, you have to get full at some time. I mean, despite the fact, and for those who aren't familiar, and we'll get to it in a little bit, the difference between the two shelters is unfortunately somewhat dramatic. The Charlottesville Albemarle shelter is new. McKenna, how old is that building?
We moved in 2004.
All right, so it's 5 years old. Mm-hmm. It's quite modern, both in terms of architecture and in equipment that I've seen anyway.
Correct.
Betty, how old is the building at Almost Home?
Actually, ours is 5 years also. It just turned 5 years on April 24th.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in...
Well, the biggest difference is that we do not handle our animal control. There is a separate facility for Nelson County Animal Control, and we take a lot of the animals from them and bring them to our facility when we have space, but we are two separate entities.
I'm not sure I understand what that has to do with things.
Well, for us, for instance, we have to take in all strays that come to us. And 75% of our intake are stray animals, stray dogs and cats, kittens, puppies. So we don't have an option to say we can't take this animal in because we don't have a cage space to put it. So we have to find space and be creative in how we house the animals. We do a lot with foster care. I mean, we couldn't be no-kill without this community and their support.
And I'd have to say the same thing, that we do use foster care homes because we also get full with a waiting list all the time. And we do try very hard to help prevent animals being euthanized at our county pound. We do work very closely with the animal control offices. So foster care homes are very valuable to us.
Right. I mean, in our summer months, we can take in anywhere from 400 cats and kittens in a month. And we just expand our space. We find hallways that we can put cats in. We find bathrooms sometimes to put dogs in. I've many a time had to step over puppies to use the restroom, and I probably shouldn't say that on air. But the point is we're creative, and there is no, it's exhausting, don't get me wrong, but you always have to look for creative solutions, and that's kind of the whole mantra for us. There is no no.
You say 75% of the animals at Charlottesville Albemarle
are strays.
Are strays.
Correct.
What, okay, so a stray is a pet, an animal that someone, a non-owner, brings in that doesn't have any sort of tag on it, correct? So you can't identify?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know the percentage that come in with tags or collars, but they do come in. I mean, we are able to put, it's about 38% to 40% of our dogs back with their owners. And it's only about 3% for cats. But a stray is basically an animal that is lost from its owner and or never had an owner in some cases to begin with, like with feral cats, for instance. They, so many generations are living in the wild. And that's a whole other topic. But the point is 75% of the animals come to us from animal control or from Good Samaritans who find animals in their neighborhood or alongside the road.
Well, Betty, what's the percentage at Almost Home? Do you know?
I don't know what the percentage is, but I think I could give you some facts. Like last year, we handled a total number of 997 animals, and of that, the ones that we took from animal control, we actually, let me just look here, we took 166 dogs, and we took, let me see, with the cats, I think we took, hold on, let me look this up for you. 180 dogs we took, and the cats we took 48. That was the whole year of what we took from animal control.
But they have to come from animal control first, right?
We occasionally take in some strays, usually on weekends when animal control is closed. People will bring us animals, and we take them in, and we call animal control and say we've taken in a beagle or a hound or a puppy or whatever. And we will hold them for the 5 days. There's a five-day holding period if they don't have a collar on. And we will hold them, and if animal control doesn't have anyone calling to say this dog is mine, then we will put it up for adoption after the five-day holding period.
But almost all those animals have gone through animal control, whether just by telephone or by actually physically being at animal control.
Right. And most of the strays go through animal control. And once a week, I go over to the animal control and I take animals that have been there the required time, and I bring them over to our facility if we have space. And sometimes we put them directly into a foster care home if we don't have space.
But, McKenna, you said that 75% of the dogs
and cats.
And cats are strays. Where do the other 25%? Because I think that's the vision of a shelter. We are here with McKenna Yarbrough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA and Betty Graham from the Nelson County building, the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center. By the way, McKenna, much cooler name, Almost Home Pet Adoption Center. It doesn't sound shelterish, and maybe that's good or bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we tried to make our facility as home-like as possible, and we have our animals housed in small rooms rather than kennels, and we have music in the rooms, and we have paintings on the walls, and we wanted it to look like the animals were in a home.
Ready to be home.
Yes, because there are so many people in rural areas who don't believe in bringing animals in the house. They think they should be outside in the yard or on a chain or in a kennel.
Right.
And we really want to encourage our pets to be adopted as house pets.
Well, McKenna, you 75%.
So you're wondering where the other percentage
comes from. I mean, if they're not strays, what are they?
Owners who can no longer care for their pets. Bring about 17% of the animals we take in are from owners. And then we also go and help other high euthanizing shelters by taking in animals from them as well when we have space. We work with a group down in the southern part of the state to transfer some animals up to us in our winter months when we're not as full.
Betty, do you have a lot of animals come in that are, what's the proper term here?
Surrendered.
Owner surrendered. Do you have a large number?
Yes. Especially when we first opened, I couldn't believe how many people wanted to bring us their animals, knowing we were a no-kill facility. But I have some figures of the animals that came in last year. 212 were surrenders of dogs.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. We had people that for one reason or another, and most of those, a lot of those are puppies, because we have a puppy rescue program, which we've been doing for 13 years now, and we don't house our puppies at Almost Home. If the puppies are turned over to us, they go immediately into foster care homes. And they're held for 1 month. They get 2 parvo distemper vaccinations. And then we transport them with in our SPCA van. And they go up to a shelter in Massachusetts. It's a no-kill shelter called the Northeast Animal Shelter. And we send probably 250 to 300 puppies a year. And it has helped us tremendously because we find if we don't have the puppies at our facility, people will look at the adult dogs. But if you have puppies, the adults don't stand much chance. And since there's a shortage of puppies in the Northeast, Massachusetts being one of the states, they're guaranteed a home. So we feel it's been a good way of saving a lot of animals.
But it just seems like such a large number of people to surrender their pet. Is this related in any way to the current economic finances where it's like, well, it's either surrender my pet or we go without dinner for three straight nights? Or is this just poor planning and not doing the spay-neuter kind of thing?
I think that's the main reason, but there's other reasons, too.
I mean, we get this question a lot. Is it due to the economic times that people are having to surrender their pets? So I did a little research this morning before the show because I figured the question would come up. We are actually taking in less owner surrenders this year versus last year, and we took in more animals last year due to, for this time frame, for not being able to care for them. You know, I think the biggest problem that we're seeing is, you know, what Betty was saying, the last of the litters are not able to find homes for all the kittens or all the puppies. We see a lot of owners having to move and not able to take their dog or cat. The thing is these are real problems people have. So we look at ourselves as a resource to help them with their problem, give them advice on how they can maybe rehome the pet themselves. We have a section on our website that allows people to post animals that they're looking to find new homes for. And we try our best to keep the animal from coming into the shelter, but at the same time, we want to be there for those animals that are in need. You know, people have real problems, and we should always be a resource for those problems.
And one thing we did quite a bit of this year, we did find that there were people coming to us to surrender animals and saying that they couldn't afford to feed them. And so we had a drive for food, and we gave out quite a lot of food. We're still doing it, not as much as we had been, but specifically to people, let's say, if they had the food, they'd keep the animal. And so as a temporary thing until they get another job or in some way are able to afford to buy the food, we helped provide it through the generosity of people that just gave specifically for that purpose.
We did the same thing this year as well. Not saying we're not hearing the stories, but we're trying to work with people to be able to keep their pet. You know, one story comes to mind where we had a person who just couldn't afford vet care any longer. And so we worked with a local veterinarian who she'd been going to for 5 years with her older Cocker Spaniel. And he was able to work out a deal for her and help her. So it's not that we're not hearing the stories, but I think the idea that we're having an influx of animals coming in is not as true. What I will say is we feel, I don't know if you're seeing this, Betty, we're feeling like we're having a lot more catastrophic situations where we have dogs hit by cars where the owner can't afford it. We had three come in within a two-week time frame where the animal was hit by a car and the owner didn't have the means to care for it, so we did. And those are the things that I do feel like we are seeing more of, the more large medical cases.
All right. We are talking with Betty Graham from the Nelson County SPCA, the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center. McKenna Yarbrough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. We do have a call. This happens to be my nephew, and I'm sure want to know what he has to say. Wren, are you there?
Yes.
How are you today?
Good.
This is my nephew, Wren, from the mighty Pocosin Islanders down on the Chesapeake Bay. Wren, what are you calling about?
Happy birthday, and have a nice birthday on Tuesday.
Well, thank you very much. You're a wonderful nephew. You know, Wren is a big fan of Lazarus. You like Lazarus?
Yes.
Yes. Wren actually wrote me a book about Lazarus that I got around Christmas time.
Isn't that nice?
How old is Wren? He sounds adorable.
Wren, how old are you now?
I'm almost turning six.
Almost six. Wren is five. He'll be six in just a few weeks. All right, Rand. We'll have a birthday party for both of us when we go to the beach.
Okay.
All right.
And how did you make the story of Lazarus?
Lazarus was the story that you wrote was wonderful. It's really good, and I'll share that with anybody who wants to know. And after you hang up, I'll tell the legend of Lazarus. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, my birthday is Tuesday.
Well,
thank you.
Birthday.
I'll finally turn 27. and if only I could get rid of the gray hair, people might actually believe me.
Oh, I'm a fan of gray hair.
I have to admit I'm not.
For those who want the quick story, Lazarus, I believe he wandered into the backyard of someone on the board at the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, completely beat up, scars, blood, a broken tail, Lyme's disease.
Bad eyes, bad ears.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My friend Sarah ended up fostering him. And so the legend of Lazarus is that Sarah brought him back to life. For those of you who are not Bible people, even didn't go to church, Lazarus returning from death to life. Lazarus is a plot hound. For those who don't know, plot hounds are bred to hunt and tree bears. So the legend of Lazarus is that he lost his fight with the bear. Thanks to Almost Home and Sarah, he was saved, and I adopted him, and now he is a diva and only sleeps on sofas and beds.
Which goes to show that hounds can make wonderful house pets.
Absolutely.
Lazarus doesn't even bark. Now, whether that has something to do with his, you know, his past history, I don't know. But people always say, oh, hounds, they bark all the time, you know, they have to be outside sniffing. It's not true. I can verify that that is not true. So give me a few moments. We'll come back and talk with Betty and McKenna a little bit more. I want to ask a few questions about volunteers, and I want to ask a question or two about Michael Vick, because it's certainly a question for all true animal lovers to give their comments on that. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 80 to 85. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 65 to 70. Then partly cloudy again tomorrow with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Highs 85 to 90 right now. Ooh, it's cloud or two, but mostly clear across the listening area. 77 in the valley, 74 in Lynchburg, 75 in Richmond. And oh so nice, 74 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be with you today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online, brgtshirts.com. All right, back in action with McKenna Yarbrough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, Betty Graham from the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center in Nelson County. Ladies, it's kind of through me, I guess. I've never understood someone giving up their pet unless they were not doing a very good job of being a pet owner by failing to get their animal spayed or neutered. But you're saying that that's not always the case. In fact, it's more than just the very rare circumstance. Am I understanding you?
I think that at least in our county, there are still a good many people that just let their dogs run free and don't get them spayed or neutered, and they do end up being bred and having puppies and kittens. So it's a big problem. And we've been doing spay-neuter assistance for the past few years. We did 2 years where we provided free spaying and neutering, but now we're doing partial payment in most cases, some cases free, but we do it as an ongoing thing because we know that that's a big part of the problem of why we get so many animals in. And so we're trying to tackle it from all the various points, and spay neuter is a big one.
And McKenna, if I have my information correct, because my friend Sarah, her mother, Molly, and Lee Channing, who's been on the program multiple times, there's an event, a regular event at the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA where you have some sort of cat program.
Are you talking about our feral cat clinics?
Feral cat clinics.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you for saving me from more embarrassment.
I got to say, feral cats, it's a big issue.
Define
feral
me.
Cats. Please help me, Betty, if I mess this up. But basically, a feral cat is a cat that is unsocialized to humans. They're wild. You know, you look at them like wildlife or squirrel kind of mentality in the sense that they normally, in most cases, there's always exceptions to every rule, they are not able to cohabitate with humans in a normal setting. They're not domesticated. Can't have them in your house typically. Doesn't mean that people haven't and that you can't socialize some of the kittens that come about to being more social, to being pets, but they're not pets. So what we have are feral cat clinics, and we work with Voices for Animals, which is a fabulous feral cat group here in town that, you know, close to 40 to 50 volunteers come in. We have vets, 4 to 5 vets performing surgery all day long in our spay-neuter clinic, and we try to fix as many as possible.
If it's a feral cat, how do you bring it to the SPCA clinic?
That's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. We, well, actually, Voices for Animals and we ourselves, we have traps that we rent out, and we, mainly them, they have a video that shows you how to use the trap to lure the cat into it with food, and the trap closes humanely. It's a humane trap. And you then carry the trap in to the SPCA, and we're then able to anesthetize it and perform the surgery. And then we put it back in the trap, and then it goes back out to where it came from.
And how long does this all take, and how regularly do you do this?
We have about 8 to 9 feral cat clinics each year, and we try and do them during their heavy breeding season. So right before we start... You know, I'm probably going to get this wrong and someone's going to get mad at me, but I think we start like around August, September time frame, and we work through the winter, through the early part of the spring, and stop for summer for obvious reasons. It's harder to find volunteers. And honestly, that's the prime breeding season is January and at the beginning of fall. So
don't worry about getting things wrong. I get stuff wrong all the time here. And
we also, Rick, work. We don't have specific feral cat clinics, but we have been zeroing in on people that have numerous feral cats at their home, and they will call us, and we have gone out and helped trap the cats and take them to the mostly to the South Central Spay Neuter Clinic in Evington, which is south of Lynchburg, and we work with the clinic pretty regularly. So they send vans to collect the animals from us, and then they take them to their clinic and spay and neuter them and return them the next day. And so we work directly with a lot of people who have. They thought they were doing the right thing by feeding masses of cats, but they never had them spayed or neutered. And what started out as 3 or 4 cats can easily end up to be 40 to 60. And then you have a major problem. But we are starting one family at a time and trying to help these people to stop the multiplication of the cats by getting them spayed and neutered.
And if I could just add, I mean, we may have these clinics, but we always work with people when they come in. When we rent traps, we try and encourage them to bring the cat in right away. And we'll do the surgery, you know, any time during the week for free for those people. Because the last place you want to see a feral cat is in a facility or a shelter.
And I think one of the biggest differences between our facilities that you're blessed to have your own spay-neuter
clinic
right
nice.
There, you know, which is wonderful.
11:30 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with McKenna Yarborough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, Betty Graham from the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center in Nelson County. And a big thanks. This program is being put on thanks to one of our donations at the spring fundraiser. Ladies, let's take a moment and talk about some of the more current events in the animal SPCA, the shelter area, is Michael Vick. He made the news by having his pit bull dogfights, was caught, has gone to jail, recently released from jail, but having at-home or in-home punishment for several more months, I think until mid or late July. And I realize that neither of you may be able to speak as a representative of your personal SPCA. But I would think that there are a large number of people who have some sort of feelings about this. So, McKenna, let me start with you. Do you think that Michael Vick has served the punishment that he needs, should serve, and should he be allowed to return to his career job on August 1st?
You know, I worried about this question, actually. So I thought a lot about it this morning, and personally, I don't know, in all honesty. You know, it's the NFL's job to decide if they want to have this type of person who has done these types of heinous acts represent them as an NFL player. Personally, if I was paying someone millions of dollars, I wouldn't want this person with this type of character to be somebody I would pay that kind of money to represent me. But it's not my call, and I feel a lot of things about it, but I have to say that I question someone who can perform those types of heinous acts, watch those types of heinous acts, torture that they put these animals through, and not yet hear a single bit of remorse from him. And I just feel like we're not there yet. I feel like there's so much more he needs to do to make amends with what he's done. Personally, we'll see if he gets there or not.
Well, I hope that he'll make a big effort to go around and speak in schools and community places and you know, let the youth of the communities see that he did a terrible thing, and maybe he can make up for it by letting people know it was a terrible thing and that he is sorry, which we hope he is sorry, and turn that image around.
I just can't believe someone who would do what he's done for as long as he did it would not. I mean, there's a definite character flaw there in my mind that someone could do that and not find problems with it and find. And I don't know if he found joy in it or not. I'm sure that's slanderous, but in some ways I wonder if he took pleasure out of it. So I struggle with him representing the cause a little bit.
Right. I do, too, because people really look up to, you know, sports figures as heroes. And so to think that someone in that position did horrible things to an animal is pretty awful.
All right. We have a phone call from Emily. And Nelson, ladies, put your headphones on. Emily, are you with us?
Yes.
All right. We're ready.
I am actually I helped my mother. We're foster parents for Almost Home. And I just wanted to say that how much just we appreciate what Betty Graham does for the county of Nelson and all of our dogs. She's been here for years and years, and I don't know what we all would do without Betty.
Oh, thank you, Emily. And thank you, Fonda.
Personally, I mean, we have two dogs that we've adopted from, actually four dogs that we've adopted from Almost Home. And I just wanted to tell her how much we appreciate what she does and how the other volunteers, how much they do as well.
Well, we certainly appreciate your calling in to say that, Emily.
That's no problem.
Very,
thank you,
very
Betty.
Thoughtful.
And thank you, too, McKenna.
Thank you.
Ladies, Emily took me off track for a minute, but we'll follow her call. Is the volunteers and the fosters for an SPCA? Because it seems to me obvious, I don't need to know any numbers, that you can't, that the animals completely overwhelm the number of animals in need of help, completely overwhelm the number of people actually providing the assistance.
That's true.
Betty, you mentioned having almost 200 dogs from last year. How many volunteers do you have?
Do you mean providing foster care or
no,
at the facility?
No, total. How many people can you say, you know, you may be off a half dozen or so, but how many volunteers do you have at Almost Home?
I would say probably in the neighborhood of maybe 10 at doing foster care and 10, about an even amount, I would say, working actually at the shelter, too, walking dogs, helping socialize animals and grooming and helping
so
with
that's 10 animals per person.
Mm-hmm.
And McKenna, do you know how many are at the Charlottesville Albemarle site?
We do. We have about 250 to 300, including foster care volunteers total.
Ooh, that's wonderful.
250?
Yeah, to 300.
That's
volunteers.
A school.
Well, we take in about 5,000 animals, and 1,700 of those go into foster care every year. So we need a team of people to help us. That's why it goes all comes back to community support. You know, I know Betty feels the same way. We wouldn't be able to do this if the community wasn't there to help us.
Let me take a call from. Let's see. We have Michelle. Hey, Michelle. Michelle from Richmond.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that I believe people that do the type of work that you ladies do definitely have a place in heaven already. And I think that when you get up and get ready for the day every morning, I wonder, how do you fold those angel wings under your clothes?
Oh, very nice.
And the question is, are we going to people heaven or animal heaven?
And Michael Vick makes me nauseous. Everyone talks about sports figures being role models for children, and they overlook the fact that animal cruelty is a gateway crime and leads on to other things. And, you know, who knows if he weren't in the public eye where it might have led. I believe there may be something genetic with anger issues in that family, he and his brother, unfortunately. I would like to see him cleaning out cages and having to sit through grief counseling for pets that have passed. And I don't even want to say his name anymore, but about the feral cats, I don't think I heard you mention, but do you tip their ears after you have neutered them so people will know they are?
Yes, we do.
Great.
What's that? McKenna, hang on a second, Michelle. McKenna, what's that?
While they're under, we take the very end of their ear, their forms of triangle, we just tip off the end of it. We cut off the end of it with a razor blade. I know to layman's person it might sound terrible, but it allows us it's not harmful to them, but it allows us to know in a colony, because that's typically where they live, who's been spayed or neutered and who hasn't. So we know when we trap a feral cat, if this animal's been already altered, then we don't have to go through the surgery again.
Is there any similarity to declawing a cat?
No.
Oh, no.
No,
we certainly don't approve of declawing at all.
No.
I think a lot of people don't realize with declawing that it's actually an amputation. All those first joints are amputated. Some people think it's just a case of removing the claws, but it's a lot worse.
But if we didn't ear tip them, then a lot of these cats would be going through a procedure again to open them up, which is more cruel. So you have to ear tip them to know that they've had surgery.
It's cruel and painful, and if they escape your house, then they're defenseless and can't climb a tree and bite back.
With the declawing, yes.
You know, it's very bad.
A lot of people just don't have an understanding.
Mm. All right, thanks, Michelle.
Take care.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
That's Tuesday. I'm not older yet. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you want to call up and ask a question for McKenna Yarbrough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, Betty Graham from the Nelson County Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, here as we put together a program on shelters, pets, Betty, as far as decoying a cat goes, I haven't been to the Charlottesville Albemarle website, but I've been to the one at Almost Home where you can look at the pictures of the dogs and the cats that are available. But some of them have a little mark on them that they are declawed. They have a little symbol that says that this cat has been declawed.
Well, occasionally we get in a declawed cat, and we put it up for adoption. But when we adopt out a cat that is not declawed, our contract specifically says that they agree they will not declaw the cat.
All right, 1141. I'm going to do this now. When I come back, I want to ask about the contract, for I want to find out why, if I want a cat, why am I not automatically good enough to take it? So we'll be right back. 1141 on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
This week's cover story examines the death of an older, wealthy couple, a suicidal death pact possibly tied to financial losses. Private recycling entrepreneur Peter Vanderlyn steps up his competition against the Ravana Solid Waste Authority, and The Hook has announced Restaurant Week upcoming in July. Inexpensive price-fixed menus at 6 of the best eateries in our area. The Hook, loving you almost as much as your pet does. And support today also coming from Visualite Cinemas, now including the Vinegar Hill Theater, Charlottesville's home for critically acclaimed cinema, including foreign and independent film for over 25 years. The Vinegar Hill Theater is at 220 West Market Street, right off the west end of the downtown mall. Now playing at the Vinegar Hill, it's Sin Nombre. And on Sunday, at noon, it's Juvies with Mark Wahlberg. And we'll be doing a program about the juvenile crime system next week. That's Visualite, Visulite, and the word cinemas.com. We also want to give a shout-out to 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. You can also go see the Look 3 Festival of the Photograph, held again this year in downtown Charlottesville from June 11th to the 13th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Festival passes are available at look3.org or call the WNRN studio line. 979-0919 if you want to call the studio line about today's program with McKenna Yarbrough and Betty Graham from our area SPCAs. And let's take this call. Is this from Washington Wintergreen? Oh. Gosh, Mary Beth, I thought you were from state of Washington and were setting new personal bests for distance.
No, not quite that.
But we'll take Mary Beth from Wintergreen. How are you?
I'm well, and I hope that you all are.
We seem to be. Everyone's shaking their heads.
Well, great. First of all, let me say that I just can't say enough good things about both the Nelson County Almost Home Animal Adoption Center and the Charlottesville SPCA. I mean, both of them are absolutely top-shelf organizations. And I'm calling because I would like the ladies, both Betty and McKenna, to say a little bit about the benefit of bringing in shelter animals into families as opposed to bringing in, quote-unquote, purebred animals, or certainly animals who have come from breeders. I guess specifically I'm wanting them to address that when you bring in an animal who perhaps had a little bit of a hard scrabble start to his or her life, or perhaps has some quirks to the personality, that these animals still can be fabulous, fabulous household members, and it's also a very valuable way to teach children about the importance of valuing all life and really having respect for a lot of different ways of showing up in the world. So if the ladies could maybe address that a bit,
well,
I would appreciate it.
I happen to know Mary Beth, who is on our board, and she speaks from experience because she has taken in three dogs that have had traumatic pass and were very skittish and afraid of people and now have wonderful lives. One of them did come from our facility. It was a little beagle that was extremely traumatized, and she has the most wonderful home now and has shown that she can be part of a family that loves her and she gives love back. And I think when you give a home to a shelter animal, it's extra rewarding because you don't know what they've been through to end up in a shelter or in a county pound. And they have so much love to give, but often it takes patience. And you have to give that animal extra time to come around and see that people can be loving and good to them, but it's very rewarding. I have a number of animals at my own home that were from situations like that. And
Lord Betty, you have like 32 animals at your home.
Oh, I have probably more than that, Rick.
I've driven by your house, and you have this large piece of property with this gigantic fenced area, and it was like being overrun by a high school football team.
Oh, we do have probably more than we should, but there are many animals that were not easily adopted, and so they took up residence with us, and they just have a wonderful life now. I have a pet door into a large fenced area, and they're in the house when we're in, and when we're out, they're out, but they're all the kind of animals that Mary Beth was referring to. You know, they came from situations where they didn't trust people anymore. But once they got into a steady, happy home, they came around. And, you know, we've just been very blessed to have them. So I know exactly what Mary Beth means when she says adopting a shelter animal is really doing something special.
McKenna, how do you Mary Beth, thanks for calling, by the way. McKenna, how do you take and convince a potential owner when they walk in Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA? You know, they walk in because I would think that some people are there because they know that they're doing this, and they walk around and they can, you know, they find the animal that they want. There's some sort of connection. And then there are others who they're just kind of iffy about it, you know, and they've got a person that they know, or somebody told them about a person that they know who has a, you know, like Mary Beth said, there's a purebred that's out there. I don't know that I want this animal from the shelter. How do you fix that?
You know, the first step is getting them in the door. So thankfully they're in the door, they're looking. And so we kind of let them loose a little bit in our facility, let them walk through, take a look at all the dogs that we have. We have different color codes to our signage on each kennel. For instance, we have yellow dogs that are pretty perfect for most families with children. We have purple dogs, which means usually they're a little bit more high energy, very, very minor issues. And it, you know, runs a gamut to tell you a little bit about each dog. With cats, we don't have quite as much of a system. But we have volunteers that know these animals really well, and they usually work with the people walking through, along with staff members, to pitch and sell specific animals to them. So if you're a family wanting to come in to find a dog and you're not 100% sure, we'll get the dog out for you. He'll let you walk it around our half-mile paths on our property, let you visit with it, tell you as much as we know about the dog. I think what people will find remarkable is that we have some really great animals that come through our shelter, and we do have purebreds. We do have purebred cats. We have purebred dogs. We had a purebred Cocker Spaniel and a poodle last week. So it's not like we don't get them, but the difference is you're able to save a life by taking a shelter pet.
And for those who've listened either today or years past, Lazarus, we believe Lazarus to be a purebred plod hound. For those who have been listening and are aware of when Zephyr was shot, and we went through that whole experience. Zephyr is believed to be a purebred. And let me tell you, that dog, purebred or not, is an amazing dog that can be shot and up and walking 48 hours later. You can find these dogs anywhere. You can find any kind of dog. And I always tell people, Charlotte Albemarle has a lot more size, and you said thousands was your number that you gave out.
5,000 animals total coming through in a year's time.
I find that to be amazing.
A couple hundred in our facility at a given time.
See, we're only about 1,000, so it's a huge difference in size.
And the fact that you can, you would think that anybody could find any dog, any animal that they want with that number, but you can drive to Nelson County if you're listening closer to Charlottesville. You can drive to Fluvanna. You're
absolutely
in Richmond. McKenna, you said that you came from the Richmond. You told me before we started that you were at the Richmond SPCA.
Right. Yeah, I started at the Richmond SPCA in 2000.
You know, if you're on this, I always say this, if you're on the southern part of Albemarle County, it's a lot closer to drive to Almost Home than it is to drive to Charlottesville Albemarle, and that has nothing to do with anything, any problem that there would be at Charlottesville Albemarle. It's that take that excuse away from you. You don't have to drive 45 minutes because you live in Batesville. You can drive 15 minutes so that you can go to Almost Home near Lovingston. It's just not...
Adopt a pet from a rescue, or from a shelter, from an animal control, any place. Honestly, you're saving a life. You're helping everybody in this cause when you adopt from a facility that handles homeless pets.
I think most of us probably advertise on petfinder.com,
mm-hmm.
and people can, if they have access to the Internet, go on petfinder.com and put in their own zip code, and they can find a shelter in their area, and they can see what animals are available for adoption.
The only thing I want to preach about, if I can ever so slightly, is sometimes these facilities make it difficult for people to adopt. And so I want to put the word out to everybody who's listening who runs an animal facility or rescue group, that, you know, only about 15% of pet owners in the U.S. get them from shelters and rescue organizations. So we want to make the process friendly and easy for them to be able to find these pets and take them home.
One thing we do also, we encourage people, if they have another animal and they're looking for a companion for that animal, we encourage them to bring their animal. And we let them put others from our shelter with theirs. We have a nice fenced yard for them to go in. And then you can kind of get a feel of whether they're going to be good friends or whether they're going to be arch enemies. And that often is a good way of helping to make sure it's going to be a good adoption.
How do you do that with a dog and a cat? I've said several times, you know, now that Lazarus spends the majority of his time by himself, you know, the pack is gone. And so he's by himself a lot. And while I don't work crazy time periods, I'm home, you know, I don't travel a lot, I don't work these 12 or 14 hour days, but still, even being gone 8 to 10 hours can be a lot. It can be boring, even for a hound dog.
Probably sleeps the whole time.
Well, I can tell you that he doesn't sleep the whole time, because I can find if I forgot to tighten up the trash area, or things like that.
Trash diver.
So I've been thinking about a cat.
Yep.
Rather, because it's a small place, so I've been thinking about a cat. How do you put a cat and a dog together to see if they're going to get along?
Well, we generally put the dog on leash, and we walk it through the cat area, and we keep a very close watch. We have cats that are loose at our facility, so they're in the lobby area, and so the dog can walk through on leash. And generally, if the dog is bristling and showing like he'd like to go after the cat, then we know this isn't going to be a good thing. We can generally tell the ones that are disinterested and just kind of ignore the cat. It's not 100% meaning that they're not going to have some incidents, but it's a good indication that it's not the kind of a dog that's out to kill cats. And so that's the first step. And then we do encourage people, if they do take a cat home, that they take it slowly and don't leave them unattended, and let the cat stay in a crate for a while and the dog get used to the smell. And, you know, just introduce them slowly, but we have seen some dogs that will react so quickly that they look like they're ready to lunge and eat that cat. So then we know that's definitely not the right one.
Yeah. Ditto. We do the same exact thing. We try to cat test.
You have now I lost my train of thought because Sean's in here. let me go back to the volunteer part real quick.
Yeah.
How do you get to be a volunteer? Are there age requirements? You know, are there things that you must do? You must sign up and appear for a certain number of hours every week?
We have a policy that if they're children under 12, we want them to be accompanied by an adult. But if they're 12, we will show them some of the jobs that they can do, mostly dog walking with dogs that are pretty easily walked. And we have some children that will brush cats and play. We have different toys for the cats that they can play with them and get the cat to do tricks and things. And so, you know, as far as young people volunteering, we do ask all of the volunteers to fill out a form that it's called a cruelty affidavit, and says that they've never been convicted of animal cruelty, and this is something the state requires. We have an insurance form we ask them to fill out, and if it is a child, then we have to have, if they're under 18, a parent has to give permission for them to volunteer. We don't have a specific long training period or anything. We just kind of bring them in and show them what they can do, and if they can do it on a regular basis, that's great. And if not, whenever they can come, once they've done the paperwork, we're willing to have them come help, and we're grateful for the help.
Is it the same age requirements?
We're a little older. 14 and 15, you can be a junior volunteer. 16, you can be an adult volunteer. We have an orientation. We basically tour you around so you don't get lost in the facility, kind of get the lay of the land. If you're wanting to walk dogs, we have an extra training for that to show you how to get the dogs in and out of the kennel runs and where to walk them and the basic rules. So it's just a little extra step there.
All right, down to the last few minutes here, 11:57 on the wake-up call. Let me thank NBC 29 for their support today. Covering the news is a team effort, and you can be part of the team. The number to report news when you see it is 434-220-2970. That's NBC 29 News in HD at sunrise, noon, 5, 5:36, and 11. And now on 10 p.m. on CW 29, 29.3, and Charlottesville Comcast 12. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, as we're finishing up our hour with Betty Graham from the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center in Nelson County, McKenna Yarbrough from the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, where she's the associate director. All right, ladies, we just got a couple minutes left, but I'm curious, you know, what are the rules for adopting a pet? I want to go adopt a pet, and I can't just give you my $100, pick my pet, give you my $100, and leave the area?
Well, we usually have some paperwork that we ask people to fill out, which kind of gives us an indication as to whether this animal would be a good match for the person. We do ask that the animal not be kept strictly as an outside pet. We have made a couple of exceptions to that. If they have two animals in a fenced area with good shelter, we have sometimes made exceptions. We don't let one animal go by itself to be an outside animal. And with the cats, we really encourage them to be inside cats because there's a lot of coyotes that are getting cats in our area, and so we want these cats to live a long, healthy life.
We have a simple form as well, and it's more of a just trying to get to know the person so that we are meeting their needs and meeting the needs of the animal. We treat each person that comes in as an individual as we do the animals themselves. So, you know, we will place animals to live outside, and because it depends on the specific animal that they're looking to adopt. So we counsel to their expectations of what their needs are, and it's just really forming relationships and getting to know people so that everybody's happy. It's education and relationship building.
All right. Please find these places online or in the phone book. It's the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA up on the north side of Charlottesville, Albemarle County. And the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center can be found on 29 on the south side, just a couple miles, 3 miles north of the city of Lovingston, right at 29 and Sagebridge Road. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Not just for being on, but for doing everything that you do.
Well, thank you so much.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.